With less than a week to go before Christmas, stores are trying to lure shoppers in with last-minute deals. The holiday shopping season can account for as much as 40% of a retailer's annual sales, according to the National Retail Federation. But what if that weren't the case? What if we spread that money around throughout the rest of the year? In other words, dare I say it, is Christmas actually bad for the economy? Derek Thompson is senior editor of The Atlantic. He's looked at the research and he's with us from New York to talk about it. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be back.
And is Christmas bad for the economy?
On the one hand, asking whether the holiday season is good for the economy is it's sort of like asking whether Thanksgiving is good for turkey sales or whether Valentine's Day is good for chocolate and flower shops. It seems like an obvious answer. Of course, the holiday season is good for these sales. Some retail companies expect that as much as 40% of their annual sales are going to come around this season. But what I've asked in this piece is whether this is really the best way to arrange annual shopping, to have all these families wait and wait and wait to buy what we want, and then suddenly to flood these stores all at once, meaning longer lines, messing up these stores, meaning that these stores all of a sudden have to hire all sorts of short-term, part-time employed people to staff the stores, and then buy gifts for people who often don't like what they receive. Is this, in fact, the best way to organize shopping and giving? And what economists, who are the Scrooges of the academic world, have said is that no, in fact, this is not the best way to arrange our economy.
Well, the thing that comes to mind is also if you put all of your eggs in one basket, if you will, if you hope that December is a great month for sales and then there's terrible weather, that could really screw you up as a retailer for the rest of the year and make your overall sales figures be down. But what did economists find when they looked at this?
So there was this Wall Street Journal forecasting survey from a few years ago, and it found that 2/3 of economists thought that if Christmas didn't exist, it's not as if we would simply go about our lives the exact same and then not buy all this stuff. We would simply spread out our shopping throughout the year. And by spreading out our gift giving more evenly, we would first avoid the potential of a terrible Christmas season, in which case the weather prevented us from shopping. But we would also potentially shop more efficiently so that stores wouldn't have to stock up on part-time workers all at once, then suddenly let them all go when it becomes January. That we would shop more evenly, buy what we wanted for ourselves and for other people when we wanted it, and that sort of smoothing of consumption would be better for everybody, both the shoppers and the stores, who could more better plan for when people were coming in.
But isn't there that value in both for the giver and the receiver that it feels good to buy something for somebody. It feels good to get something for somebody. There's thought put into it. Even if it's, you know, an ugly sweater, maybe, you know, your mom enjoyed getting you that ugly sweater and it makes you think of her when you wear it.
Well, so this is the conversation that I always have at the dinner table around this time of year when I'm talking about the dead weight loss of Christmas, which is such a terrible phrase. The idea is that if grandma buys me a sweater for $100 and I would happily exchange it for something that's only $70, there's loss there. There's $30 that I just don't care about. And it would be much more efficient if she just gave me five $20 bills instead and we could buy something that we both valued at $100.
But what's the fun in that?
But there is no fun in that. That's exactly the point. Life is more than economics and numbers. Gifts feel good to give, and gifts feel good to get. And there are neurological benefits of what academics call pro-social spending, and the rest of us just call the joy of buying stuff for people. We enjoy buying presents that, even if they aren't efficient, carry a message, a signal that says, I know you, and I cared enough not just to go to my ATM and get you $20 bills, but to go to a store and browse it and see a reflection of our relationship in a shirt or a sweater on the rack. That's just a part of the joy of family and friendship. And so I think that even as there are clear economic arguments for cash being the most efficient gift, it is not the most efficient way of telling somebody that you love them. And for that reason, I remain a defender of gifts in the abstract.
Okay. And then let me throw this in as well, because some economists have said that people who don't like their gifts and then end up trying to resell their gifts online, that actually is good for the economy as well.
Well, it's funny because on the one hand, it's inefficient to buy somebody something that they don't like. But if that means that we have to return it and go back to the store and continue shopping for ourselves, what you are doing is potentially generating more economic activity. You're forcing there to be lots of multiple sales for one gift. First, the sweater, then my realization I don't like it, then my going to Gap and realizing that I actually want to buy all sorts of other stuff because now I'm back there looking at the sales rack. So there is a possibility that the economic inefficiencies introduced by Christmas actually are good for the economy, particularly when what it needs is a little bit of a jolt. And so that is another sort of silver lining to the deadweight loss that is the holiday season.
Now, you've looked at some of the research behind what people actually want for gifts, Derek, and economists have found that even despite what we just said about ugly sweaters, giving money is the safest bet. But men and women want very different things from gifts, too. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. There are a couple studies that came to a conclusion that might be familiar to listeners, which is that men tend to enjoy gifts that are a little bit more practical and less sentimental than women. So if you want to buy a gift for a guy to tell him that you love him, some electronic equipment or even a watch. Women, it said, like jewelry a lot more. Maybe a watch is not so efficient now that we have cell phones on us for the time.
Yeah.
Right. But that women tend to like more sentimental gifts that might not have clear practical value. And that if you want to tell a woman that you love her, maybe the best thing to do isn't to buy something that's utterly practical, like some piece of equipment that you found from Home Depot to help get her apartment or house up to snuff. And so it's just interesting to think about that this goes back to the fact that when you give a gift, it's not just about thinking about that gift economically efficiently. It's about understanding the person and what they want and how they want to be seen in your eyes. And gift giving in a lot of ways is not just economic, it's relationship building. And So it's important to think about what men and women want.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks so much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.